It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible handy, you'll want to be turning it to the book of Luke, chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 13 about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And we're going to be finishing our discussion of that first temptation when the devil commanded him to turn the stones into bread. And so we'll be looking at that in just a moment. While you're getting your Bible and turning to Luke chapter 4, I remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and then superintendent of this radio Bible school. And our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by way of the Sunday school lessons he wrote to be used by the churches years and years ago. And this particular lesson is for October the 22nd, 1922, on the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And I'll read to you that first temptation out of Luke chapter 4. It is found in verses 2 through 4. And here's what he says, that Jesus was 40 days tempted of the devil, and he did eat nothing in those days. And when they were completed, he hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it become bread. And Jesus answered unto him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, fasting and prayer lift one above animal appetites into a closer union and communion with God, and are a means of gaining spiritual strength and power. We read about Paul when he was fasting. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 4 that he says, In everything commending ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. That tells us that Paul took occasion to fast, that he might dedicate himself to the thoughts of spiritual things and to prayer. And that's what Jesus was doing in the wilderness. We read also in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 of the many things that Paul suffered. And among those sufferings, he mentions fasting. He says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of rivers. In perils of robbers. In perils from my countrymen. In perils from the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now watch it. In labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Intensely interested in the great work of the earth, has in the greatest work the earth has ever witnessed, overwhelmed with its vast importance, in deep anxiety and constant prayer for strength and power to accomplish it, and undergoing the severe test, the fiery trials, and the great mental and spiritual strains to which the shrewd and mighty temptations of Satan subjected him, Christ's natural desire for food was suspended, and this mighty, unreeling unrelenting conflict, he is most successful at absolutely every point. He resists triumphantly every attack of the subtle deceiver. The danger seemingly is past. The victory is his, and nature reacts and asserts its claims with powerful force. And he is hungry in the extreme of a gnawing, imperious appetite. Verse 3, Luke 4:3. If thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. The tempter watched his time. He withdrew only for a moment to change his tactics, to renew his energy, to increase his force, and to return to make his subtlest, most cruel, most severe, and most powerful assault in the time of Christ's greatest weakness. So he attacks us in our weakest places and moments, when we're weary, weak, nervous, sick, depressed in spirit, or disheartened. There are two points in this temptation. One, to display his power in turning the stones into bread, and two, to satisfy his hunger and appeal to his fleshly appetite. Christ's temptations were real and powerful. If thou art the Son of God, are the very words of Satan here suggesting a doubt and a taunt? Or should we see rather, since thou art the Son of God, again tempting him in those words? Why should the Son of God hunger? You are not he. If so, you could make this bread of these stones. Jesus heard, let him save himself. If this is the Christ of God, his chosen, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 35, art thou not the Christ, the thief said to him while he was hanging on that cross. Save thyself and us, they said. Jesus fed the multitudes and raised the dead, but he did not use his miraculous power to feed himself or to save himself from the cross. He and the apostles did not use their miraculous power for self-benefit or self-glorification. To have done this would have thwarted his earthly mission. He came in the flesh to live as a human being among men, to suffer, to be tempted, to weep, to die. Satan appealed to a most imperious appetite, hunger, and did it in the subtlest ways. What wrong is there in eating bread when one is hungry, and when, too, one's power is displayed in making it? To eat wholesome food is not wrong in itself. It is necessary, and clothing and shelter are necessary. But the life is more than the food, and the body more than the raiment. Jesus is here voluntarily as a man, and to have used miraculous power to sustain life would have made his humanity a mere appearance. God led the children of Israel in the wilderness to humble them, to prove them whether they would trust and obey him or not. And while they knew not what they would eat, he fed them on manna. So the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and approved. In verse 4 of Luke 4, Jesus was under God's protection, and God would feed him when he saw fit. Hence he said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This was written in the old law, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. God could be trusted to sustain him. Every word of God means that all of God's will must be done if it leads through hunger and poverty to the cross and even death. God will sustain him who does it. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the written word, as people sometimes say, is the only weapon Jesus used with which to defend himself. He at once quoted the scripture, saying, it is written. Now for the second temptation. The second temptation given by Matthew is the one of tempting or making trial of God. This is recorded as the third by Luke. But it is really the second, because when we read Luke, we're expecting Luke to provide us things more in a chronological order than in a subject matter order, as Matthew must have done. In verses 9 through 11, we read of the second temptation from Luke. It says, "The devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city was Jerusalem, and the pinnacle of the temple was some very high point of the building overlooking perhaps a deep valley below. Again, the doubt and taunt are repeated. To cast himself down without injury would show his power and gain the applause of the wondering multitudes. Love of applause and love of distinction are human passions. Thus he would open up a short way into the confidence of the Jewish nation and easily establish himself at once as their king. This would be a quicker and more desirable way than the patient, suffering, tearful, prayerful, self-denying way of the cross. This was a temptation. Jesus, in human tears, sweat, and blood, shrank from the cross and prayed God that the cup might pass. But in its dark shadow, as in the wilderness of temptation, his only desire was that God's will be done. Since Jesus relied so implicitly upon the word quoted, upon the word of God, the devil quoted scripture to induce him to do wrong. He quoted from the book of Psalms, the 91st Psalm, verses 11 and 12. But the devil rushed the scripture, and he left out an important line, to keep thee in all thy ways. God will protect and keep those who walk in the way he has appointed them. Going where God says go is trusting him. Satan first tempted Jesus to distrust God, but now he tempts him to go to the extreme of rashly tempting him. Shakespeare, in reference to these very words of Satan as he used the scriptures, once wrote in one of his plays, The devil can cite scripture for his purpose. An evil soul producing holy witness is like a villain with a smiling cheek, a deadly apple rotten at the heart. Jesus at once replied, Again it is said, or again it is written, Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. God's statements do not conflict. His word is always harmonious. He does not tell men what to do or what not to do, and then send the devil or even angels to them to countermand his directions. Jesus still resides implicitly upon the word of God as it is written. So may we. It is always right, and we must learn to rightly divide the word of truth, lest Satan tempt us with some kind of perversion from what God says. And now we come to what we're calling in this lesson the third temptation. This is the last temptation at this time, and it is the mightiest. It has been called Satan's masterpiece. In this, he throws off the mask and acknowledges that he is the prince of this world. From a lofty eminence, an exceeding high mountain, he spreads out before Jesus in a moment of time the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus sees all, the luxury and ease and the pomp and the splendor, the bright crowns, the dazzling glories, the wealth of the East, the culture and the refinement of Greece, and the power and the triumphant armies of Rome. And Satan offers all of this to Jesus, saying, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. For so it has been delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. We're going to go back and read that paragraph again in our next class session because we're out of time now. Make sure you visit us when you can at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ. And tune in again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And you'll be greatly blessed with the knowledge of God's Word.